Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yusuf Mullah here. So welcome everyone to the third presentation. And this is going to be a little different than the previous two presentations and also the upcoming fourth one. Okay, the previous two were introducing the core concept and they were elaborating on the big mistake. And it spoke about the 80-20 principle and it spoke about the central theme and human emotions and facial expressions and a lot of how the language works, basically the overall framework of how the language works. Part of that framework is these major verbs. Like, you need to know the major verbs. You can't begin any reading until you're exposed to at least two of the three. There's three in total, but two of them are extremely important, and the third one could be taught later after the book has begun. No problem with that. So if you remember in the previous presentation, in the four stages of growth one, we divided the verb into three major types. We had al-madi, al-fi'lu al-madi, which is the perfect verb, the past tense verb. And istansuru was an example of a past tense verb. And then we had the present future one, which we call mudari'. And then there's the command verb. Every verb in the Arabic language has 14 variations. There's going to be 14 conjugations. And let me speak a little about what a conjugation is and the emphasis on tables and why we need tables. Okay, once we're done with this conceptual, then we can get into the implementation and I can start developing the table for you. And it's going to make a lot more sense once you know the reasoning behind it. So here's the reason why it's 14 and why we even have tables and why we even need them. Because in other languages, like in English, they don't have any concept of memorizing tables. It just doesn't exist. The reason is because regardless of the pronoun, regardless of who you're talking about, if you're talking about a male, or if you're talking about a female, or if you're talking to a male, or if you're talking to a female, or if it's a group of males or a group of females, makes no difference. In English, the verb remains the same. Okay, let me highlight that for you. So if it's sleeping, if you want to say one male slept, you say he slept. And if it's a female, you say she slept. If it's a group, you say they slept. You slept, I slept, we slept. Makes no difference. The slept is the slept. It stays the same throughout, right? And the other reason is because there's not so many of them. Okay, like in English, there's only six pronouns, and that's because a lot of them are recycled more than once. So regardless of whether you're speaking to a male or speaking to a female, you say you. Regardless of whether it's one or a group, you say you, you, right? But in Arabic, we're going to have different ones, okay? So because in English, the verb does not get impacted by the change in the gender and the plurality and the person of the one doing the verb does not get impacted, it doesn't change, it stays the same. This is why there's no emphasis on tables in English. And the other reason is because the number is very small and there's only six of them. It's the opposite of these two reasons in Arabic that warrant a heavy emphasis on verb tables in Arabic, and we have a whole science that talks about that. It's called sarf, morphology. Okay, so let me elaborate on that some more. First of all, the pronoun, okay, the he, they, she, that pronoun in Arabic is written alongside the verb to the point that it looks like a single word. And we saw this in istansaru when we were dissecting that word and drawing out all the meanings, the seven meanings that were coming from there. If you remember, the masculine gender, the plurality, and the person of the one doing the verb, all of that was coming from the wow at the end, and I was contrasting, and I was saying that if I wanted to speak about a group of females, I would do it differently. I never told you exactly how I would do it, but I said it would be different, which was the point over there, because we were highlighting comprehensiveness. But now, since we're developing the table, I'm going to give you the exact letter that would signify group of females, as opposed to the letter that is for the group of males. We already know that, it's the wow. The wow at the end of istansaru meant they group of males. So how do you say they group of females? So it's written together, to the point that it looks like a single word. And the other reason is that there's more of them. In English, there's only six, but in Arabic, there's a much larger number, and that number happens to be 14. And I'll even tell you exactly why it's 14, okay, and not 15 or 16. So it's a larger number. So when you have something that looks like it's being repeated 14 times, slightly different, then that warrants a table, you see? Because the verb is impacted, and it does change, and it does look different. So and the difference is very slight. Right? So this is exactly the ingredients that you would expect there to be in a table. Okay? So this is the reason why we have tables and why we have a heavy emphasis on tables. So let's speak about the layout and let's speak about the 14, and then we'll spend the rest of the presentation, inshallah, developing and filling the slots on all 14 of them. Okay, and I'm going to toggle the slides in a minute. Right now, I just want you to listen to me and try to internalize some of these conceptual things before I begin developing the table. Inshallah, that way, as soon as you hear the conjugations, you'll be able to retain them. And this is my aim and my objective through this third presentation, is I want to give you results in advance. I want you, within these 30 minutes, to walk away from this presentation having memorized the entire table. I'll say that one more time. At the end of this 30-minute presentation, you will have memorized the entire table. Inshallah, we'll see whether I can fulfill on that promise by the end of the presentation. And I want you to comment underneath the video and tell me your percentage on how much of it you were able to retain just by watching the presentation. So let's go ahead and give you the layout, and then we'll start filling the slots. Okay, so there's three factors that result in our large number. Here are the three factors. First of all, you'll either be speaking about the doer of the verb, or you'll be speaking to the doer of the verb, or you yourself will be the doer of the verb. And that's what we call third person, second person, and first person. So that's one factor. And then each of those will split up gender-wise, masculine, feminine, masculine, feminine, masculine, feminine, so that we have six. And then each of those will split up further based on whether the one doing the verb is one, two, or a group. And Arabic has a dual, which other languages doesn't have, and that's another reason why our number is large, because we have four theys, essentially. A they, which means two males, another they, which is referring specifically to a group of males, we have a they reserved for two females, and we have another they, which is a group of females, and they're all different, and that's the whole point. They're all different, and that's why we need a table. Okay, so let's start seeing this now. Okay, so if you look at the slide right now, you'll see in the far left column, it says third person. Third person. So we're going to have, and then it results in six of them. The reason it's six is because, first of all, there's males and there's females, and masculine could be singular, dual, plural, and feminine can also be singular, dual, plural. And then you can see the English equivalents. He, they, she, they. Lift your head off the screen and say that. He, they, she, they. Pause the video if you need to try to internalize this. Okay? So you're speaking about one male. You're speaking about two males. You're speaking about a group of males. You're speaking about one female. You're speaking about two females. Or you're speaking about a group of females. Obviously, the Arabic verb will be given to you, inshallah, by the end of this presentation. Right now, we're just explaining the table layout. Okay, so now we see the same six repeated again, but this time you're not speaking about them, but you're speaking to them. So either you'll be speaking to one male, or you're speaking to two males, or you're speaking to a group of males. One female, two females, group of females, six yous. You. So from the top, it's he, they, she, they, and then six yous. Okay, and then for the first person, when the speaker is the doer, over there, we would expect there to be six also, so the number should be 18. Because 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. But in Arabic, there's a little overlap that happens in the first person. So regardless of whether you're a male or a female, if you're doing a verb and you want to speak about yourself doing the verb, you would say I. You would say I slept, I hit, I helped. And the same conjugation would, the same word, the same actual Arabic word would be used for singular male and female. It doesn't matter. And also dual becomes irrelevant, so instead of 18, we only have 14, I and we. So he, they, she, they, six yous, and then I and we. And that's pretty much it. This is our table layout, and this is what we will be recycling again and again. So spend the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes to properly understand the table layout. First of all, why we need the table. Okay, because our number is large, and our number is large because we have duals and we have very little overlap. Okay, as opposed to English, because English doesn't have a dual and English has a lot of overlap. And the second reason why we need tables is because the verb and the pronoun are written together to the point that it looks like a single word. So what you're seeing essentially is you're seeing the same word repeated so many times, slightly different, and this is exactly why we need a table. Okay, so this part of the presentation is over, and now we can develop the madhi verb. Now, when you sign up for the premium program, inshallah, and we continue with the science, and we start developing the mudari, and also the command verb, and the variations of the mudari, the table layout will be the same. That doesn't change. What fills the slots changes. So right now, the words that we'll be using to fill these 14 slots are madhi specific. They're to do with the past tense verb, and the ones for the mudari would be different. In other words, the mudari has its own method of construction, which fundamentally differs from the method I'm introducing to you today. Okay? So now every verb will either be active or passive. And we'll return back to this towards the end of the presentation, but let me just tell you right now that every verb will be active or passive. Now, very briefly, active means that the verb is attributed to the doer. In other words, that letter at the end of the verb is signifying the gender, the plurality, and the person of the doer. So we're speaking about the doer of the verb is a male or a female. The dual of the verb is the doer of the verb is either two or group or one. And we are speaking about the doer of the verb, or we are speaking to the doer of the verb, or we ourselves are the doer of the verb. All the emphasis on the doer, and that's what active means. Passive is when the doer is suppressed. We're not speaking about the doer, but instead we're concerned about the object. So now that letter at the end of the verb is not signifying the gender or the plurality or the person of the doer anymore, but it's they were helped, she was helped, you were helped, I was helped, we were helped. So now all of the emphasis is on the object, and the subject isn't even there. And that's called passive. Okay? So more on that later. First of all, everything I speak about in the next 10 minutes will be active specific. Once I'm done with the active, if I spend 10, 15 minutes on the active, I'll spend 1 minute on the passive. Okay? So that's called leveraging, because everything's the same. It's only slight difference. So the sarf is not about memorization. Sarf is about noting slight differences. There is a degree of memorization by necessity. Okay, like what we're doing right now, but it's very minimal. Okay, it's not about rote memorization, it's more to do with understanding. Okay, so the model pattern for the past tense verb in three-lettered verbs without extras is fa'ala. I'll say that one more time. The model pattern for past tense verbs in three-lettered verbs, active voice is fa'ala. Okay, so what that means is that you would get your three letters from the dictionary, whatever they may be. Three letters, because we spoke about this in the first presentation, that meanings in Arabic are achieved by gathering the letters of the alphabet into groups of three. You'd get tens of thousands of groups if you did it. Every group of three has an associated meaning, but because they're consonants, and consonants on their own are not pronounceable, we're going to need vowels. We're going to need vowels. And I spoke about this in the first presentation. So depending on what configuration of vowels you add to the letters, you're going to get more meaning. So there's one meaning that comes from the letters, and there's additional meaning that comes from the pattern, from the vowels. So if you want to convey active voice in the past tense in three-lettered verbs, then this is how you do it. You add a fatha on the first and second and third. All three letters would have a fatha, and you get fa'ala. An example would be nasara, and another example would be jalasa. Nasara means he helped. And jalasa means he sat. And notice that apart from the third base letters, there's no ending. There's no particular ending here. The he is implied. It's understood. The reason is because the rest of them will have endings. There's 14 in total, and 13 of them will have designated letters to represent the pronoun. So if you see none of those letters are there, then by default, the verb means he. Right? So now we have our first one, fa'ala. Fa'ala. If you want to indicate two, then what you do is that you add an alif. You add an alif to the end of fa'ala, and now it becomes they two males helped, or they two males sat, or whatever the meaning is, ate, drank, whatever the meaning is, depending on the letters you're using. So fa'ala, fa'ala. So now, be able to say that. Lift your head off the screen and say fa'ala, fa'ala. Fa'ala, fa'ala. Just stretch it a little and it becomes two. Two males. Okay, now, if you're speaking about a group of males, you're going to add a waw to the end of the verb, and this is our next one. You'll add a waw to the end of the verb, and that waw would be sakin, and the third letter of the verb, the lam, would receive a dhamma, so, and that dhamma would be stretched. So you say fa'alu, and if you remember, this is exactly the one that was used in the istansaru example, because ru, lu, you see that? But istansaru is larger, you see? But then, at the beginning of the presentation, at the beginning of developing this, I told you three-lettered verb without extras. So the implication is that three-lettered verbs can have extras. And if it has extras, it will be different. And those would be topics that would be introduced gradually. It's not part of the 4% that you need to know right now. Okay, so when speaking about a group of males, the way to do it would be after the lam position. After lam position means the third letter. So we have fa position, ayn position, lam position. After the lam position of the verb, you would add a waw, and the lam itself would receive a dhamma. Okay, the third base letter will receive a dhamma, and it will become fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. And there's an alif at the end of the structure, and that alif is not pronounced, it's silent. And there's a particular wisdom behind why that alif is there, which if you think you know it, then go ahead and post in the comments and we'll see. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on it, so we're going to continue forward. So we have three of them now. So you can lift your head off the screen and say fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu. Fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu. He, they. Fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu. Now the point here is to give you the model. Okay, now obviously you would change the letters to create meanings. So you would say nasara nasara nasaru. He helped, they helped, they helped. Jalasa jalasa jalasu. He sat, they sat, they sat. And the they is referring to two males. The second they is referring to a group of males. So now we have our third person masculine conjugations. All three of them are done. When we move into the females, when speaking about one female, the way to do that would be to add a ta at the end of the verb, and the ta has a sukun. So it's fa'alat. Fa'alat. Nasarat jalasat. She helped, she sat. Okay? Simply add a ta at the end and you have your fourth conjugation. Now we have fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu fa'alat. The next one is by adding a ta and an alif. Now we're speaking about two females. Two females. So fa'alata. And when you combine that with the previous ones, you add a ta. And when you combine that with the previous ones, now we have five. Now this is the point to pause the presentation and spend 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Inshallah, by the end of this presentation, you're going to know all 14. Okay, provided that you stay with me here. So we have fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu fa'alat fa'alata. Try to say that about 5 times. Okay, and then once you've said it 5 times and you're comfortable with it, then we can continue with the remaining conjugations. Fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu fa'alat fa'alata. Fa'alat is speaking about one female. Fa'alata is speaking about two females. Okay, nasarata, two females help. Jalasata, they, two females sat. Okay, now when we hit the sixth conjugation, something unique happens that hasn't happened up until now. Okay, what's happened is that the lam position of the verb, the third letter, third base letter of the verb, receives a sukun. So it's fa'al, fa'al, and then the suffix, or you can say the pronoun, the designated letter, is added after the sukun, so we get fa'alna, and this sukun will maintain until the end of the table. So we have our top five already. Fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, fa'alat, fa'alata, and then it becomes fa'al something. Fa'al, 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 all the way down into the bottom. And then after the fa'al, you'd add one letter, two letters, and create the rest of the pronouns by adding that letter after the sukun. So just remember that. It will aid the memorization. So the lam position of the verb receives a sukun. And you add a noon. Okay? And it remains that way until the end of the table. And now we have six. Fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, fa'alat, fa'alata, fa'alna, fa'alna. Fa'alna. Okay, now, we're going to do something magical at this stage right now. The next six, okay, I'm going to deviate from the way I'm doing it for a bit, inshallah, and then we'll get back to what we're doing. The next six, okay, you already know about the fa'al part, that the lam position has a sukun. Now, after the fa'al, you're going to add a ta for one male. When you're speaking to one male, you say fa'alta, nasarta, you helped. Jalasta, you sat, ta. Two males, tuma, and then tum. Ti tumatunna. Now take that. Ta tumatum, ti tumatunna. Ta tumatum, say that 20 times. Ta tumatum, ti tumatunna. Ta tumatum. Tum is when you're speaking to a group of males. And if you speak Urdu, then that might help you because tum sab mard. Tum sab mard, like all of you. Tum, ti tumatunna. That's just a coincidence. Ti is when you're speaking to one female. Tuma, speaking to two females, and then tunna. Ta tumatum. Ti tumatunna. Can you say that? Ta tumatum, ti tumatunna. Now add the fa'al, we get fa'alta, fa'altuma, fa'altum, fa'alti, fa'altuma, fa'altunna. Now we're at 12. So we're going to see these six now develop one by one. So for conjugation number 7, speaking to one male, you add the ta at the end of it, and that's pretty much it. So now we have from the top, fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, fa'alat, fa'alata, fa'alna, fa'alta, fa'altuma, fa'altum. The next one is eighth one now, tuma, when you're speaking to two males, fa'altuma, and then you can add that to the list now, and fa'altum is when you're speaking to a group of males, you, 3+ males, helped, fa'alta, fa'altuma, fa'altum, and then the next three would be fa'alti, speaking to one female, and then speaking to two females is tuma. And notice this one's recycled because the two males one and the two females one, no difference. Now, somebody might ask, how do you tell the difference if it's the same one? The answer is that question is purely hypothetical. It doesn't really exist in real life because even in English, you don't make a distinction. Whether you're speaking to a male, you're speaking to a female, group of males, you say you. So there's overlap and it's not a big deal. Okay, and basically the contact would distinguish because you'll have physical people in front of you. So either you have physically two males in front of you or you have two females in front of you, you're gonna say fa'altuma to them. Okay? And then the 12th one is fa'altunna. Fa'altunna. And remember the titumatunna that I already had you memorize before I introduced these six. So now add them to the previous six, we have 12 now, and we're almost done. Okay? So at this stage, you might want to lift your head off the screen and say all 12 of them from memory. Fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, fa'alat, fa'alata, fa'alna, fa'alta, fa'altuma, fa'altum, fa'alti, fa'altuma, fa'altunna. And then finally, we have the I and the we. So for the I, it's tu. And this is a little interesting because the ta was used quite a few times. If you look in the fourth one, we had fa'alat. And that was speaking about one female, she. And then we had the ta with all three vowels. We had the ta with the fatha, the ta with the kasra, and now the ta with the dhamma. And just try to recall that and remember that. That when you're speaking to a male, you say fa'alta. When you're speaking to a female, you say fa'alti. And when you're speaking about yourself, regardless of gender, you say fa'altu. And then now we're on our 14th one. 14th one is fa'alna with a noon and an alif and not just na. And na was the sixth one, if you remember, fa'alna, and this one's fa'alna, and there's a clear difference between those two. Okay, so here's the entire table here, and pretty much that's it. So on a single slide, you see all 14 of them gathered together, and at this stage, you might want to pause the video, just internalize that, look at that screen, and spend some time with it, and lift your head off the screen and say fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, fa'alat, fa'alata, fa'alna. فعلتا فعلتما فعلتم فعلتي فعلتما فعلتن فعلت فعلنا. And I would suggest focusing time on the middle six first, the conjugations 7 through 12, and nailing those down first. Okay, like, you know, make sure you're at 100% with those middle six, the ta tuma tum ti tuma tunna ones. Once you have those, then go back and remove the gaps in understanding and try to get those top six. Combine it with the six you already have, and you're like 90% of the way there, if you could do those 12. And then just wrap it up with fa'altu and fa'alna. All of what we talked about was active, in other words, when speaking about the doer. So that alif, that wow, that ta, tuma, tum, ti, tuma, all of those letters are pronouns, are literally pronouns speaking about the gender, the plurality, and the person of the one doing the verb. Right? So if you want to turn this into passive, and if you want to say he was helped, they were helped, they were helped, she was helped, they were helped, they were helped, you were helped, six of those, I was helped, we were helped, then you make some modification to the first and second letter, and this same table will become a passive table. So passive voice in Arabic is called majhul, and it's also called mabni lil maf'ul, but the Arabic term isn't really important, so don't worry about the Arabic term. Basically, it's done by two modifications. A second to last base letter, it will receive a kasra. So the a part becomes e. And then the very first letter would receive a dhamma, and fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu becomes fu'ila fu'ila fu'ilu. You see that? Fu'ila fu'ila fu'ilu. And now you can lift your head off the screen and say fu'ila fu'ila fu'ilu, or what we have here is nusira nusira nusiru, nusirat nusirata nusirna, nusirta nusirtuma nusirtum, nusirti nusirtuma nusirtunna, nusirtu nusirna. And the translations will be he was helped, they were helped, they were helped. She was helped, they were helped, they were helped. You were helped six times. I was helped, we were helped. So now that letter at the front is not signifying the doer anymore. It's not speaking about the gender, the plurality, and the person of the one doing the verb. But instead, that letter at the end, the 13 letters, okay, those letters are now representing the object, and the doer is not even there. The doer is suppressed. So, like in Nusiru, if the question is posed, who helped? The answer is we don't know. All we know is that the people that were helped were males. The people that received the help were males, but we have no idea of who the helper was. It could have been one female that helped the males, and Nusiru would be true. It could have been I, the person, and I'm just being humble, and I don't want to indicate that I'm the one that did it, so I say Nusiru, and really, what I'm trying to say is I helped them, but I don't say it that way, I say they were helped. Parentheses by me. Right? You get it? Okay, so now we have two tables. We have the fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu table, and we have the fu'ila fu'ila fu'ilu table. And the fa, ayn, and lam letters are basically their models that the Sarf people, it's like in algebra, they have x, y, and z, and they use that to illustrate the formula. And then, but in actual usage, it's not x, y, z you'd be using, you'd be replacing with numbers. So similarly here, fa, ayn, and lam is like a paper cutting of a tailor. A tailor has a paper cutting that he uses to facilitate his tailoring. But nobody wears the paper. So I don't want you to be translating fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu, because it's like wearing the paper. Nobody wears the paper. The paper is used to create the garment, and then the garment is worn. So similarly, fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu, you don't have to translate it. He did, they did, she did. But just understand the association. Understand what those letters are signifying. And if you really, really want to translate, then substitute with Nasara and go ahead and translate that to your heart, to your heart's content. So he helped, they helped, they helped, she helped, they helped, they helped. You helped six times. I helped, we helped. And for passive, it would be he was helped. And you can see that on the screen right now. Okay, both of these, the fa'ala one and the fu'ila one, if you want to create negatives out of them, you put a ma at the front. And ma fa'ala, he did not help, eat, drink, whatever the action is. And ma fu'ila, he was not helped, hit, honored, or whatever the action is. So ma fa'ala, ma fu'ila. So now we have four tables. Fa'ala, fu'ila, ma fa'ala, ma fu'ila. And to end this presentation, I'm going to go ahead and recite all four tables in that order. 14, 14, 14. And they're not on the slide. I want you to listen to me do it, inshallah, and just try to follow. Okay, and then watch the presentation a couple of times, and inshallah you'll be able to replicate what I just did right now, what I'm about to do right now. So here goes. Fa'ala fa'ala fa'alu, fa'alat fa'alata, fa'alna fa'alta fa'altuma fa'altum, fa'alti fa'altuma fa'altunna, fa'altu fa'alna. Table number two. Fu'ila fu'ila fu'ilu, fu'ilat fu'ilata fu'ilna, fu'ilta fu'iltuma fu'iltum, fu'ilti fu'iltuma fu'iltunna, fu'iltu fu'ilna. Table number three. ما فعل ما فعل ما فعلوا ما فعلت ما فعلتا ما فعلنا ما فعلت ما فعلتما ما فعلتم ما فعلتي ما فعلتما ما فعلتن ما فعلت ما فعلنا. Fourth table. ما فعل ما فعل ما فعلوا ما فعلت ما فعلتا ما فعلنا ما فعلت ما فعلتما ما فعلتم ما فعلتي ما فعلتما ما فعلتن ما فعلت ما فعلنا. And that concludes the four tables. Okay. So to really solidify this, you know, like half an hour or 20 minutes is well worth the effort to be able to do this, okay, because this is not isolated. This clearly belongs to the 4% of the language that has the broadest application, because these verbs will begin occurring as soon as the reading text begins and you start seeing the verbs in the book. They're going to have different endings, and you're going to need to know what those endings mean. Sometimes the verbs will be active, sometimes they'll be passive. Sometimes they'll have a ma in front of them. Sometimes they won't have a ma in front of them. So all of this is really important, right? And what we just did right now would also be done with the second major verb, the present and future one. But then you'll have different words. The table layout will be the same, but the slots will be filled with different verbs, and the method of construction will be different. Okay, so the way we do it is that conceptually we explain and develop the table as I just did it for you. That's one step. The second step is to begin seeing the verbs in the context of a storybook. Okay, the more you see it, the more intimately familiar you'll get with them. And the third is to practice verb recitation, and we do that in our live sessions, in our premium program. Okay, so now that we're done with the Mahdi presentation, and we've developed all 14 conjugations, and we've explained the differences between active and passive, and also how to create negatives, I'd like you to post underneath this video and give us some idea of how much you were able to retain from the tables, just by watching the video alone. Give us a percentage, maybe 50%, maybe 60, 70. Like, if you can lift your head off the screen and recite the table from memory, I'd just like to know if I was successful in creating these results for you. And if after watching this presentation, and also reading the report in the previous presentations, if you can see how this method will work for you, and if you'd really like to understand more of the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for you, then I'd like to personally invite you to join this program that we will be opening registration for in a couple of days. Okay, so since this method is geared toward teaching Arabic as it relates to our spiritual studies, it's completely different than any other Learn Arabic program you might have heard of in the past.
And in fact, it is the only program in existence that precisely leverages the 80-20 principle, as I explained to you in the report. So currently, we have over 1,000 people joining the newsletter list every day, brand new people, and they're watching these videos. There's a massive amount of interest, and the seats are extremely limited. So if you'd like to join the program before everyone else and pretty much guarantee for yourself a spot, then you can click the button below this video and enter your email address on the next page. We already have your email address, so nothing strange. It's just to re-indicate your interest. And this way, you'll be able to join before everyone else. And if you're not ready to invest in the program right now, then that's totally okay, because I have one final presentation to come after this one, which is about an hour long, and it includes a tremendous amount of teaching. One sister from the UK, she emailed my assistant, and she said, "Subhanallah, he covered more in 1 hour than I studied in an entire decade. Everything I studied in an entire decade, he covered in a single hour." So that presentation is waiting for you, inshallah. It will be unlocked for you by as early as tomorrow. And I look forward to speaking with you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.